From Ruth 1, verses 1 to 5. Naomi loses.
Put the mic down.
Naomi loses her husband and sons. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband.
Do you ever watch soap operas?
No.
Oh, look, we're all gays, aren't we? No, no, never seen one. I do. Yeah. I'm in the tip of my seat every night watching Coronation Street. Crossroads was a long time ago, wasn't it? Coronation Street. Anyway, basically we're starting a little soap opera today. It's not really a soap opera, but we're going to do a few stages of this book that Kay read to us this morning. And it's got some cracker names, and as you know, I'm not very good at that kind of thing, but anyway, we'll see. But have you ever been in a situation when you wanted to take a shortcut? Or you did take a shortcut and it worked out worse than what the normal one would be? Well, this is basically what's happening here. They decided to take a shortcut and they planned it. But with a lot of shortcuts, there's some dangers that are hidden behind the edges. And this shortcut of theirs is definitely going to lead to a dead end. Now, sometimes when we make shortcuts in our lives, people will say, well, you've made your bed, now lie on it. Do you think that's the answer?
No.
No. No. Right. But they did. They cut corners. They made important decisions. And that these decisions worked out deadly for them. So it started with this man and this shortcut. Anyway, his name is Elimelech. That'll do, won't it? There we are. And his wife, Naomi, and his two little boys. There we are. There's these two little boys. Mahlon and Chilion. Right, that'll do fine. Now these guys, they all lived in Bethlehem. You all know where Bethlehem is, don't you? And it's in Judea. They decided that they wanted to move house, which is a wee bit strange. So they did. Can we have the map, John?
Sorry?
Can we have the map? So here we are. Can you see Bethlehem?
Yes.
Right. I don't have... Somebody's taken my wee stick that I had here. Anyway. Here's Bethlehem here. See it? And they moved across to there. Now, how long do you think it took to walk that distance?
3 days.
That's a good start. Now, I'll give you a clue. It's only 50 miles. But remember how long they took to cross the desert? It would take you 7 to 10 days. There we go. 7 to 10 days, but it's only about 50 miles. But even though it looks quite close on the map, it's a totally different country. Different language, different cultures, different gods, different everything. Wow. So this was a big decision to pack up and to move to a new country. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Well, Carol has, haven't you, Carol? Who was that? You have, well, moving from Wales to England, is that it? But anyway, it's quite scary. It's adventurous. But they took these big decisions to go to another country. But it was really hard because this family were Hebrews. They were living in Judah. And this was a very special land. This is the land that God had promised them, the promised land. It wasn't something normal to do when you were there. You didn't sell, you didn't move away, because you knew you were in God's presence. But they did. Now, why did they move? Well, I don't really know. But this is taking place after Moses had led them, or got them out of captivity from the Egyptians. And Moses had led them through the desert for how long? 40 years. And Joshua conquered this new country that was given to them by God. And the Hebrews were settled in the promised land. Now that sounds great, doesn't it? So why did they want to move? Well, because in their country, in Judea, the judges were ruling. They had no central government. It was a bit chaotic. It was a very unstable time. It was a very uncertain time for the people living there. And this man and his family, they looked around and they wanted to go to a place where the grass was greener. We've all seen places that grass is greener. You get there and it's the same as what it was in the first place. But during political instability, the people were running away, as they do just now. We see in the news just now, Palestinians, Jewish people, Gaza people, everybody are running away from the political troubles. So it's unstable politically. The economy was awful. The economy relied on agriculture, but there were dreadful crops. There was great famine. People were starving. The economy was in danger. So they decided to leave this town. Now, making that decision was very strange because they were in the promised land. They were also Ephraimites, which means that this family were very upper class. They were elite. They had positions in the community. They had more to lose than other people had. So really looking at them, they shouldn't be moving. They were already elite. But they thought, it's worth taking that risk. Let's go to Moab. So off they set. The politics, the economics, the social stresses, but they were facing dangers again. It was a different culture. They worshipped the one true God. Where they were moving to, they worshipped lots of gods. And they had very convoluted ways of practicing the religion. They hated Israelites where they were moving to. And Israelites hated Moabs. It was a strange situation. There was dangers, challenges, spiritual hostility. Now, just by the way, marrying a Moab wasn't totally against the law, but it was frowned upon. They looked down on you. And if you married a Moab, you were not allowed to take part in worship. You couldn't have fellowship with your family anymore. Do you understand that? It's quite a serious business. Wow. Incredible. But They decided to move. They decided to go to this new country. They decided to uproot and move for a little while. But you might have noticed in the passage that Kay read to us, they were only moving temporarily until things got better back in Bethlehem and they could go back and renew what they were doing. It says here, they went to live for a while. Now in Hebrew, that's sojourn, which means a short time. It's a temporary stay. They weren't going to put down roots. They were just going to wait there until things get better in Judah. But it's still a shortcut. Although it looks reasonable, although it might have been logical, but Amalek wanted greener pastures. But these greener pastures turned to a dead end. He himself didn't survive, did he? Not long after they arrived there, he died. We don't know what he died of or how he died. Some people said it was a judgment of God because he was doing his own shortcut. We don't know, but he died. This had quite an impact on Naomi. She had to suffer the consequences of this shortcut her husband wanted to take. So there she was, without her husband, with her two sons to take care of, in a foreign country, no family round about her to help her grieve, no community help her. She was alone, a single mum, a widow, on a shortcut that she didn't choose, on a dead end that she didn't want to be at. But Naomi and the boys, they faced the consequences. Well, they must have just looked back and think, we in Bethlehem were really rich. We had social standing and position. And now we're as poor can be. What a situation. A shortcut. It seems for a good reason, yeah? But why it was a shortcut was they made a decision without talking to God. They did it off their own back. They left him out of the decision process altogether. God is missing. There's no mention, no reference in the plans about God. Oh, they went by their own decision and their own understanding. They did what they saw fit. They missed the opportunity to be in God's perfect will. They missed the opportunity of knowing God's guidance. Listen to this verse, Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Did you hear that? In everything, ask God. God will answer, and God will give you a response. But they didn't look at that verse. They went according to their own understanding. I wonder, do we leave God out of our decision making? Do we sometimes calculate it and think, no, I really want to do that off my own back? We face temptations, we face situations, we face our decisions. We choose our path by our own understanding. Do we fail to involve God in these directions, leading answers? I wonder what decisions you might make your own answers in. What about building relationships with people, financial situations, your future steps? Do you make these decisions alone? Or do you ask God, do you involve God in this decision making? Making decisions without God was a shortcut. It led to a dead end. They didn't lean on God, they leant on themselves. Now I'm going to read that verse again, but in a different version. And it's very clear. It says we should always lean on God and never lean on ourselves. Is that straightforward? The result of that is he will make our path straight and keep us from dead-end shortcuts. Very straightforward. All we have to do is to involve God, to pray to God, ask him for directions. Maybe other people or the Christians, brothers and sisters, will help in those directions. Maybe the word of God will help us in these other directions. But ask God to help and direct you for the whole of your life in all situations. Now, I wonder what we would do if we found ourselves going down that shortcut in a dead end. What would we do? That's right, turn around, get out of it. But you know, that's not why Naomi did. She continued in the same direction. Instead of cutting her losses and heading her way home, instead of turning to God for help and just going down the road he showed, she settled there in Moab. Remember they said they were only going to stay a short while? But here, the first one said, for a short while, in verse 1. Second verse says that they lived there. And that word lived means remained. Remained. They stayed there for at least 10 years. So that temporary idea became a permanent one. But they're still on the shortcut. They're still on the wrong tracks. But what made things a wee bit more complicated was her two sons decided to get married, knowing all the negativity that was attached to that. Orpha and Ruth. It's not for me. They get married to Moab women, knowing that they'd be excluded from all future worship of God. They couldn't have fellowship with their families. They were frowned upon. They were looked down on. It was almost impossible now for them to go back to Bethlehem because they really would have a hard time. But they leaned on their own understanding instead of God's. Wow, this is quite a situation now, isn't it? Naomi's lost her husband. Her sons have done wrong and get married to these women they shouldn't get married to. Wow. But then further tragedy hit them. And her sons died. So now she's without a husband, without her sons. She's poverty stricken. And she's got these two daughter-in-laws to keep. What a situation she's in. She's empty. She's pulled her hair out. She came to Moab to be filled. But now she's desolate. She's got no hope. She's worrying about everything. That's quite something, isn't it? And what about ourselves? We said we would turn around if we were in a shortcut, a dead end. We said we'd turn to God. But she's pushing on. She didn't turn around. But when we're in a dead end, we want to turn to God. We want to trust in God. We want to follow God. We want to get back in the right relationship with him, no matter what it costs, and ask him to guide us. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer. We need to trust, have faith in God. Never despair, because God is always with you and he'll never forsake you. He'll always answer your prayers. It's never too late in any situation of our life to ask God to help. Never too late. God loves it when we turn to Him instead of turning to ourselves. God specializes in turning dead ends into doorways. Doorways of opportunities. Doorways of a beautiful future. Naomi, widow. Husband's sons are dead in a foreign country. Additional responsibilities of the two daughter-in-laws. Wow. This is usually when the music changes in the soap operas and you can wait till next week for the rest. But I'll give you a wee clue. It's not all negative. One of our daughters-in-law becomes an instrument of God. Changes Naomi's life around. But for us, trust in God to open doors for our way ahead, to open doors for our future, to open doors for the problems that we're facing just now. Trust in God. Where did it say it? We should always lean on God and never lean on ourselves. The result of that is He will make our path straight. And He will keep us from dead ends and shortcuts. Our God loves you. He's got your future path all lit up. You just need to ask Him to direct your path. To walk with God every step of the way. That's why we sing, draw me closer to you, God. Nearer, my God, to thee. We want to be close to God so we know His gentle guidance, not just for today, but for the rest of our future. Our loving God, help us to look into Your Word for answers and direction. Help us as we pray to listen for these answers and direction. Help us as we share with brothers and sisters to receive these answers and directions You're giving them through Your wisdom. Lord God, help us to be close to You in everything we do and think and decision we make. We thank You that You love us, Father. Amen.